Hello again, folks. This is Lyndon Davis with part four in our Debt Domino series on debt avoidance. Now, as you have heard us say before, you will hear it once more. Debt can be a major financial burden, and it can be difficult to get out of once you're in it. However, there are a few things you can do to avoid debt in the first place. Budgeting is one of the best debt avoidance methods that exists. And there also exists a plethora of manual, digital, and online budgeting tools, so I won't take the time to delve into which is better or more cost-effective here. What is more important, however, is what items in the budget needs greater or lesser attention. While all budgets are personal and no one size fits all, there are some common sense approaches that are vital to all budgets, and they are: needs come before wants. Fixed expenses come before variable expenses. You come before them. And savings come before investing. In this segment, we will look at savings before investment. That will be further broken down to dash to the stash, maintenance emergency money, paying yourself first, MOMO over FOMO. And then briefly, we'll discuss investing. First, savings before investing. While alive and engaging in daily activities, there are two things that naturally occur and are unavoidable. Those two things are saving and spending. While alive, giving money away in all its forms is quite avoidable, and to the shame of many, that's exactly what occurs. Now, what is also axiomatic is that in order to save, there must be less spending than what is taken in as income. If you spend less than you earn, savings is unavoidable. No matter what you do, you're going to have savings. It becomes quite clear then that when one is not saving, one necessarily is spending. I mean, they're the opposite. Likewise, when one is saving, spending is impossible. You can't have money being put away into the bank and at the exact same time that same dollar is being spent. It's impossible. Either that dollar is going to go into the bank or that dollar is going to get spent. You cannot be saving and spending the same money at the same time, although some people think they can do that. If you can, call me up. I'd like to know. And plus, that will make a whole lot of people way better off financially if they can achieve that feat. Like air and carbon dioxide for human beings in our breathing, so it is with saving and spending. When you are engaged in one, it is impossible to be actively doing the other. Thus, saving is a natural precursor to investing. It occupies the next position after income to take advantage of your debt avoidance strategy. In another segment, we talked about income being the primary position in debt avoidance. Why? Because if you're spending and there's nothing coming in, you will perpetually be in debt. That's by definition. That's facts. To underscore this point, saving needs to be understood as money set aside for some future event, and in some cases, a non-event. Events include vacations, the purchase of a widget, whatever that widget may be, a tax bill. A non-event is simply defined as an emergency or a foreboding incident that one hopes never comes to pass. As such, it is whimsical and imprudent to invest where there's a possibility of loss of capital. That's what investing is. Investing involves the possibility of a loss of capital. It is imprudent to invest prior to establishing savings. Therefore, savings must come before investing, and it should be intentional. Your budget to your finances is like a tank of pure oxygen to your body. As such, it has to be put to judicious use. Pure oxygen, improperly used, has the ability to damage the alveoli in the lungs. Those are the small little air sacs that make up part of our capillaries in our bloodstream. So they may damage the alveoli in the lungs, which leads to diminished breathing capacity and potentially even to death. So it is with an improperly crafted budget, whether in relationship with another or coursing the path solo. An inflexible, dogmatic, onerous budget can stifle your financial air and cause labored breathing such that you don't attain your goals, or worse yet, end up in financial ruin. Your budget is your endless tank of oxygen to not only provide for your financial air to breathe in all types of situations, especially difficult ones, but also to boost your energy for the long haul. It is an endless supply because whether you are beginning or nearing your goals, your budget will still be there to provide guidance to make sure your financial air supply, that is your money, is available and being put to the most efficient use. To put it in manly terms, a budget is where you grab your finances by the bills and tell your money where to go instead of wondering where it went. Looking at savings now. As previously mentioned, savings occupies the second slot after income as being in the proper position to take advantage of your debt avoidance strategy. To ensure that the savings does its job and is not confused with a generic slush fund or a private boodle, it must fulfill a well-defined purpose. So, savings are meant to primarily serve two functions: to help you pay expenses in the time of stress or emergency, and to provide funding for a future planned event. It would be sort of like the AC in your car, to be used temporarily when commuting, like emergencies, or during a summer road trip, a planned event. As such, savings must be easily accessible and ready to deploy. Consequently, committing those funds to anything other than a money market fund, a short-term CD or government issue, cash, or deposit account would be unwise. You want your emergency funds to be put in something, as well as your planned savings to be put in something that you can easily get your hand on. Now let's look at the dash to the stash. The first step in savings would be to establish the emergency stash. Think of it as an inhaler, not something you'd want to base your life on, but will be the base you live on in an emergency. For instance, you are on your way to breathing easier, getting your financial house in order, and suddenly there's a medical emergency. You, your family, or your pet are in need of medical attention, or a major auto incident or accident, or a household repair. Think about plumbing or an HVAC or roof event. These expenses have a range, but typically they average around $1,000. Having an emergency stash of $1,000 allows you to keep on your plan to financially breathing easier while addressing the emergency at hand. So the conclusion is, the emergency stash should be at least $1,000 minimally. At least $1,000 for your emergency stash. Now, to throw in a rhyme here so that you can remember what you want to do as it comes to your emergency stash, here is a little one-liner. And it simply states, your emergency stash needs to be your emergency cash. That is, no investments, gold coins, diamond necklace, baseball card collection, last sweatband worn by Kobe Bryant, heirloom, or any other thing that isn't hard, cold cash. Your emergency stash needs to be your emergency cash. With the stash now in place and consistently engaging in proper money management, saving needs to grow to a minimum comfort level for peace of mind. This is the second step in savings. For some people, it's 3 months of expenses. For others, it's 6 or even 12 months of expenses. You decide. We will call this sum of money your maintenance emergency money, or your MEM for short. We're going to dig deeper into this mem thing, but first, can two walk together except they agree? This is a question from the Bible found in Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. The meaning of the question is that two people cannot have a successful venture, whether it be a relationship, business, organization, or project, unless they agree on the basic principles. As you consider dealing with debt, or money in general, and are in a relationship where you both don't share the same vision, look to Jesus for guidance on how you may at least form a foundation on principles you both agree on. Then, call on Him again to give strength to see it through. So now we're picking up on this mem thing. And, you know, there was a time I was actually working with a couple some time ago who took on the task of implementing the strategies for improving their financial condition so that they could financially breathe easier. They were a professional couple. Let's call them Jan and James. Jan had employment as a medical professional, while James was in the technical field. Both had high-paying jobs, with James making almost twice the income of Jan at that time. The challenge was they had high debts, low savings, and increasing frustration that their financial air was not getting easier to breathe, but harder and harder. They contacted me and requested that I give their finances a once-over and provide some recommendations and guidance. First and foremost, I had them establish their emergency stash, a minimum of 3 months, and then planned out their debt elimination and rapid savings. The most integral step in this plan was to achieve the holy grail of the TIWK couple. TIWK, pronounced TWIC, stands for Two Incomes with Kids. TIWK, Two Incomes with Kids. He worked, she worked, and they had kids. In fact, this holy grail of the TWIC, it works just as well with kids and without kids. And that holy grail, that sought-after thing, is to achieve the save one, spend one strategy. I call it the so-so strategy. Save one, S-O, and spend one, S-O, the so-so strategy. In the save one, spend one strategy, one income of the TWIC is saved. That is, you take the entire income from one of the two and you put that into savings. That's it. That's all it does. And we prefer that that income that is saved be the higher income. And then the other income is the one that you spend for all of the family needs and desires. Now, the emphasis for using the lower income as the revenue from which all household expenditures will be taken care of stems from the worst-case scenario of engineering design. As any competent engineer will tell you, if you design for the worst case, then your design will hold up under any other circumstance. Thus, if a TWIC is found needing to live on one income, the lower of the two, that is, then they can certainly be sustained if that one income is higher. So, for instance, if one person makes $10,000 a year and the other person makes $20,000 a year, if you live on $20,000 and that $20,000 income earner loses their job, you're going to have to scratch a lot of heads, dig under a ton of rocks to figure out how do we now live on half that amount, on $10,000, because that's the only income coming in. But folks, flip it around. If all the while you were living on $10,000 and saving that $20,000, and now that $10,000 person loses their job, can you live on $20,000? Yeah, I think so. And if the $20,000 person loses their job, can you still live on $10,000? Once again, yes, I think so. So, you need to decide what is the right level for you when it comes to the save one, spend one. But our recommendation is, save the higher, live on the lower. So now, Jan and James, they were excited about the thought of reaching their goals and wholeheartedly accepted the challenge. Just a little over 2 years after starting the program, it happened. James lost his job, and they were now forced to live on Jan's income. Given that they had spent the previous 18-plus months building up the emergency stash and abiding by the save one, spend one strategy, they nary batted an eye when approaching the reality of having to live on just Jan's income, which had also significantly increased by that time to almost equal James's income. So folks, you really need to decide what is the right level of savings that will enable you to sleep easy at night, to sleep at night, as the saying goes. This would be your maintenance emergency money. If you suffer a job loss or disability or some other unfortunate life event such that you cannot generate income at your previous level, your maintenance emergency money, your MEM, will kick in to temporarily keep your lifestyle intact. It offers you additional air supply, that much-needed breathing room, until you are able to get back on your feet. Now it's rhyme time again, folks. Your maintenance emergency money, that is MEM, helps you sleep easy at night. You know that peaceful, easy sleep is associated with REM sleep, that is rapid eye movement. So to help you remember how important your MEM is to your finances, here it goes. If your MEM is complete, your REM will be sweet. Let's say that three times. If your MEM is complete, your REM will be sweet. One more time. If your MEM is complete, your REM will be sweet. Build out that MEM. You've now fully given proper air supply to your emergency savings, your MEM. You've given that breathing room that allows you to competently pursue those vivid dreams with toned, relaxed muscles. One must then add planned future expenses to make your savings complete. These future expenses are typically items that will come due within 12 to 18 months. So now, looking at this term, PIF or POOF. PIF or POOF. What do you mean, Lyndon? Well, once there is 3 to 12 months of emergency savings, or more depending upon your MEM, the habit of saving needs to be reinforced. So now we're going on our path towards getting our MEM. All right, we just talked about what the MEM is and how it helped out that couple. Now this is the path toward getting toward that MEM. This is where the PIF comes in. PIF. You want to implement PIF to guard against POOF. POOF, as you recall, is what is depicted in printed comics when something disappears into thin air. Folks, you pay yourself first. P-Y-F, pronounced PIF. Pay yourself first is not a narcissistic undertaking en route to amassing assets for hedonistic indulgence. No! PIF is meant to be a means by which the most important human being in your debt avoidance endeavor is properly taken care of in the proper order. Without you, no one gets paid. Therefore, pay yourself first to ensure that your money isn't consumed by bills, obligations, desires, splurges, Uncle Sam, that is taxes, or Paul McCartney's notable companions. Remember that song? Sister Susie, that would be charities. Brother John, that would be siblings. Martin Luther, that would be holidays or celebrations. Phil and Don, that would be friends. Brother Michael, relatives. Auntie Jen, parents or loved ones. All are worthwhile endeavors. Yes, they all are. And they deserve your attention. But before you open the door and let them in, or however it's sung, PIF. Otherwise, your debt avoidance is in danger of going poof. Momo beats out FOMO. The fourth and last step, as we're looking to wrap it up now, of your savings is MOMO. And this one is more of a condition than a step. And it deals with royalty. Yes, royalty. Kings and queens they are of a massive domain. You are certainly familiar with these monarchs. Your Grace, the King and Queen of Wasgana. Their kingdom occupies a vast intangible real estate between the frontal cortex and the phalangeal appendages. It's that space that has an overabundance of air supply, but it is useless air, wasted air. It's where I was going to get started on my savings, but I need to get new shoes. Or I was going to begin investing, but I got so much going on. Time and again, I was gonna do this to save, plan, invest, but never did. These are the monarchs of missed opportunity, Momo. Monarchs of missed opportunity, Momo. An opportunity missed because a dollar spent will not return, while a dollar saved brings many happy returns. Where it would appear that the natural fear of missing out, FOMO, fear of missing out on a better lifestyle, a more financially secure future, or a comfortable retirement would kick in to jolt these momos into action, the royal decree of a convenient excuse is enacted and they continue their inglorious reign upon their throne. Now surely, we all miss opportunities to engage in this or that activity over the course of our human experience. That alone does not qualify us for these regal titles, not at all. But these momos do qualify as momos because they habitually and incessantly, almost with kingly impunity, manufacture excuses at will to escape the hard work of generating more income, saving, planning, investing. For them, the convenience of manufacturing an excuse to miss an opportunity or claiming some victimhood is much more palatable than the arduous task of seizing that opportunity and making a change. That's a Momo who somehow does not let FOMO overcome the Momo. The two most common missing elements that make for convenience of excuse manufacturing is a lack of education or planning and or a lack of discipline. Lack of education or planning and or a lack of discipline. Education and discipline. So by listening to this particular series, Dead Domino series, and applying the ideas and methods contained in the presentation, you will certainly have the tools to accomplish the education / planning piece. Discipline is the one thing that I and no other human being can do for you. That, folks, is a personal undertaking. I was speaking with a friend of mine regarding some employees that he was seeking to educate on the virtues of saving for the future and taking advantage of the opportunities to reduce debt and invest excess income. Folks, if you haven't guessed it, I'm giving you a real live example of a king of Wasgana. A Momo. My friend told me that he rewarded this one particular employee with a significant raise, about, get this, 50% above what he was previously making. In presenting this employee with the raise, my friend advised him to remain living at his previous salary limit and to use the raise to pay off debt, save for the future, and begin a sustainable investing plan. The employee took my friend's advice on investing and invested in a new $50,000 plus depreciating asset. He missed the opportunity to improve his financial position and, in fact, aggressively worked against his own self-interest by investing all of his raise in a depreciating asset while maintaining a high level of debt and low, non-existent actually, level of savings. Making matters worse, the employee purchased the asset with debt, thus exacerbating the assault on his finances. Let's call this employee the king of was gonna save for retirement, but had to get another vehicle. Again, he didn't even have the cash because he used debt to make the purchase. That dollar spent will certainly not return, thus cementing a missed golden opportunity. Folks, do not dwell with nor become the king or queen of was gonna. Get started on your savings and get started now. Now, there's a term spoken or written by Elizabeth Barrett Browning that says, he lives most life whoever breathes most air. Kind of true, right? If I'm alive for 100 years, 120 years, I've lived a pretty long life. He lives most life whoever breathes most air. Investing is like that. Investing is where you're putting your money at risk in order to gain the opportunity for a future better outcome, where you have more money at the end than you had at the beginning. I'm not going to spend a ton of time on talking about investing, because truly the steps that we've outlined previously in the four segments are enough to have you avoid debt. Investing is just like a supercharger that will allow you to take monies to do other things with, including paying off debt, whether it be on an investment property or on a business venture or whatever it might be. So again, I mention it here only because it is a tool similar to savings. But as we mentioned earlier in the program, you have to have savings before you can get into investing. No one can invest unsaved money. You have to have some monies in hand in order to invest. And the monies in hand comes from your savings. So again, not spending too much time on investing, just to let you know that by investing, you can actually supercharge that savings to where you gain more money quicker over time that can be used to pay down debt, or better yet, to avoid it in the first place, because you'll have the money to pay for what you want instead of buying what you want with money that you do not have. So folks, that brings us to the end of the four-part series on avoiding debt. But before we go, I want to leave you with these two things. When it comes to debt, you ought to remember, the first thing is the Bible says to avoid all types of personal debt, no matter how clever the terms are used to describe it. This is due to the master-servant bondage nature that is inherent to debt, as Proverbs 22 verse 7 tells us. The second thing to remember is that if you feel compelled to take on debt, let it be the debt of love, as Romans 13 verse 8 instructs us. That's it, folks. This is Lyndon Davis with another segment in our Debt Domino series on debt avoidance. We'll see you next time. Take care and God bless.